Good morning. We're continuing on here on page 3 of our notes with food, the law, and grace. Now, some of this we have read in our section with the Pharisees, but some of it we haven't. And you'll find throughout this class there will be a little bit of repetition because some sections of Scripture apply to various topics. So we'll start here in Leviticus chapter 11. Go to the Old Testament there, Leviticus chapter 11, and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts. You know, it reminds me of somewhere, was it in the Grinch or somewhere they were eating roast beast?
Yeah, the Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah. Well, here they have beasts. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are upon the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud or them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, I think that's like a rock badger or something, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, like a rabbit, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-hooded, he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean unto you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the seas and the rivers, that ye shall eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall even be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. So basically, you can eat fish, but not what we would call shellfish or crustaceans. Wouldn't be able to eat them. Verse 13, and these are they which you shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, the owl, the nighthawk, the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind. These are mostly predators, scavengers, most of those birds. And the little owl, verse 17, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after a kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have the legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. So all those Japanese eating chocolate-covered grasshoppers, that's very kosher. Verse 23, but all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you, and for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even, and whosoever beareth aught, any of the carcass of them that shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening, the carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed nor cheweth the cud are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws, among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcasses shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth. The weasel, the mouse, the tortoise. No more turtle soup. And the ferret, and the chameleon, and the lizard, and the snail. No more escargot, and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep, whosoever doth touch them. When they be dead, shall be unclean until the even, and upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood, raiment, skin, sack, whatever vessel be in it, wherein any work is done, it must be put in water and shall be unclean until the even, and so it shall be cleansed. And then it goes on and on and on about if it touches anything, you're going to have to clean it. So it goes on for a long time. But then we'll go to Matthew 15, which we did read already, but we'll read it again in this context. Matthew 15 and verse 1. Excuse me. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they washed not their hands." And then they go on with a bunch of things. Let's get to the food part. Verse 11, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." So he's saying, in spite of all those Old Testament laws about there's, you know, half the animals in the world basically are unclean, maybe two-thirds, he says it doesn't matter what goes in your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles a man. Verse 15, "But he answered," I guess the main thing is verse 11, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out." Okay, Acts 10, verse 9. Here we have Peter on the rooftop. Up on the rooftop, ho, ho, ho. Different rooftop. Here we go. Acts 10, verse 9. "On the morrow, as they went on to their journey and drew nigh close unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." It's about noon. "And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance." He just was very focused on God and his word. Not really aware what else was going on. And then he had a vision. Verse 11, "He saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air." All these nasty things that Leviticus 11 says you can't eat. Verse 13, "There came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean.'" So even when God tells him what to do, he still wants to stick to the law, which is what he grew up with, and that was, the laws were still there. But this is after the day of Pentecost, when those laws have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call that not thou common.'" And if God has called it cleansed, it's not common. Of course, we'll see in the context, he's really talking about the Gentiles, but it's the same concept. The law said, don't hang out with Gentiles. The law said, don't eat creepy, crawly things. God says, I've called them all clean. Verse 16, "This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." And now, and then the rest of it is, they're coming from the household of Cornelius. But God was saying, forget about all the Old Testament laws about A, not eating unclean animals, and B, not hanging out with Gentiles. And so he goes to the household of Cornelius, he teaches the word, they also get born again and speak in tongues. It's a great day, the first time there was any serious outreach to the Gentiles. Acts 15, now we'll go to Acts 15. Verse 1, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, and said, 'Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved.' Wherefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles about this question." And then they go up and they have this church council. And the church council will go up to verse 20. Here James says in verse 19, "Wherefore my sentence is, we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned unto God. So instead of those other Judean Christians who went and said, you have to follow the law of Moses, James finally says, we shouldn't trouble them. Verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. And then he repeats it in verse 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. So they basically admitted that they, or James admitted that, okay, you Gentiles don't have to be circumcised, but we still are really worried about our dietary laws. You don't have to get circumcised, but you still got to eat kosher. And then this is explained in Acts 21 at the next church council. If you go to Acts 21, and you can read all the details if you want about how the church council went. But at the second church council, verse 18 of Acts 21, the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when he, James, heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brethren, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law. So the fellowship in Jerusalem, they still wanted to follow the law. And of course, then they set Paul up, telling him to shave his head, go offer sacrifices and worship at the temple, which is where he gets almost killed and then arrested and headed off to Rome for years of house arrest. But the point was, they were still zealous of the law. Jesus Christ, years before this, said, it doesn't matter what you put in your mouth. But the church council in Acts 15, they were a little bit zealous for the law, saying they shouldn't eat certain things. And now they're really zealous for the law, saying they just want to follow the law, period. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 8. Which is where in the church epistles it really explains about food in this administration. And here they're not so much talking about what foods you eat. They've backed off on that, but they're still talking about foods offered to idols. Are you allowed to eat a food if somebody invites you to their Baha'i temple? Well, I guess they didn't have Baha'i temples, but they had various Roman god temples. So you go off to the temple of Zeus, and they're ordering, no, that was Greek. No, they were very Greek at that end of the world. So they go off to the temple of Zeus, and, you know, they offer a bunch of food, in, you know, as an offering to Zeus, and then they sit down and have a nice dinner eating the stuff offered to Zeus. Can you eat it or not? Well, it says here, verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, the love of God, edifies. So here in the first verse, they're telling you the main thing is the love of God. Not the laws, not the Pharisees, but the love of God. Verse 2, and if any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Verse 4, it's concerning the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world. It's just a statue they're praying to. An idol is nothing, and that there is none other God but one. But though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, is there gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we in him. Howbeit, nevertheless, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this offer, eat it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So somebody doesn't know any better and goes in and says, boy, this was offered in the temple of Zeus to Zeus. They know they're basically worshiping Zeus because they don't know about worshiping the true God. Verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God, neither if we eat or the better. Neither if we eat not are we the worse. So it doesn't really matter. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So the weak person is not the one that trusts God and eats it. The weak person is the one that doesn't know the difference and his conscience is hurt because he goes into the temple of Zeus and eats the food and then realizes, wait a minute, maybe that's not the Christian thing to do. That's the weak one. So the person that actually goes in there and enjoys the Zeus dinner in the temple, you know, like a church dinner after the service, except it's a Zeus dinner, the temple of Zeus. The people that do that and know it doesn't matter because they believe God. It's like Naaman could go in with his master and bow down to the god Rimmon. If he really loved God and knew God, it wouldn't matter. But the weak one is the one that goes in and isn't sure. Oh my God, I did something evil. I'm going to hell. That's the weak one. So, verse 9, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? You know, you're the more experienced believer, and a new believer comes in and sees you eating there. He says, okay, well, maybe it's okay to worship Zeus. Not realizing that if you're an experienced believer, you're not worshiping Zeus. Maybe you're there to witness to the followers of Zeus. Or maybe you just needed a meal and they offered a free one and you knew you weren't worshiping Zeus. You were just eating a meal. Verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So it's interesting. It first of all doesn't talk about not eating creepy crawlies and crab dip. It doesn't say that. Or having, you know, a nice escargot meal with your French restaurant. It doesn't say anything about that. And it doesn't say you can't eat food offered to idols. What it says is don't be a bad example to the new or the weak believers and get them thinking you're actually there worshiping Zeus, and it's okay to go worship Zeus, because they don't know the difference between worshiping Zeus and the true God. So that's the only point of it. It's walking in love to not harm the other believers. You know, like for instance, you know, God may not care if you go to a naughty movie, but if there's some really weak new person in the fellowship who grew up thinking going to a naughty movie means you're going to hell, maybe you shouldn't take that person to the naughty movie because you're going to hurt their conscience. I mean, it's that kind of thing maybe in our society might be there. Here it's food offered to idols. Verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend or to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So the point of this whole chapter is not that you have to eat kosher food, is not that you can never eat food offered to an idol. You just have to be careful not to be a bad example for the new weak believer who doesn't understand and can't handle it. What a thing. Then verse 8 here, oh, there's an interesting trans. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Here in your notes you see, the New International Version says, we can't win God's approval by what we eat. Could you be any more clear? And then a couple that we referred to before, let's look at them again. 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. And verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. This is when Saul was chasing him. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? You usually have a big troop of soldiers with you. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business. Of course, he's lying this whole time. And God looks at the heart and overlooked that as well. I thought about doing this, but I realized we couldn't all fit it in this weekend, but just doing a whole long teaching on what God overlooks. He overlooks a lot of stuff. We'll hit on parts of it, but I want to just get a whole long list of things that God overlooks. We've already seen he overlooked when Abraham sort of half lied about Sarah being his sister. Here, see it with Rahab. She lied to the guards when they came in looking for the Israelites that she hid under the flax on the roof. And, you know, there's a time when Elijah's in Dothan and he's surrounded by the Syrians. And he says, oh, you came to the wrong city. I'll take you to where the prophet is. He's lying to them. And here David's lying to this guy. So there's just so many things that God overlooks. People get so upset about and think the world is ending. And God says, don't worry about it, because he's looking at the heart. If in your heart you want to serve God and love his, take care of his people, he's going to let it go. But here, David's lying, because Saul's after him, and he can't really tell him the truth. So David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered, and David said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. The vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him the hallowed bread, what's referred to as showbread in the Gospels. For there was no bread there but the showbread, here it is, that was taken from before the Lord, and put hot in the hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So David ate the consecrated bread, which was against the law. So even back in the Old Testament, he was breaking the law. But God overlooked it because he needed David to be king. David may have already been consecrated at this point. Because I think David was, long before he got the army and was working for the king, he was anointed by Samuel as the king of Israel, even though David were still there. And, think of it here. You get elected, but you don't get to be sworn in for 5 years. You know, that's the kind of thing that happened. So he was God's anointed as king, but he had to lie and he had to disobey the law of the Lord to feed his men so he could go on. And he did. And then Matthew 21, we read this earlier, but we'll look at it again in this context. Matthew 12, verse 1. And that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you'd know what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So those dietary laws in Leviticus 11 obviously are no longer applicable to us because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And Jesus Christ makes it clear in Matthew 15 that it's not that which goes into your mouth that defiles you, but that which comes out. When Peter was on the rooftop, God said, what God hath cleansed, call that night uncommon. Call out not thou common. And in the church council in Acts 15, they told them to abstain from meats offered to idols. And later on in chapter 21, they were zealous and still following all the Old Testament law. And then in 1 Corinthians 8, you could even eat things offered to idols, as long as you didn't do it in a way that made life difficult on the newer, weaker, inexperienced believers who couldn't handle the concept. Like you may run into believers today that think, they'll go to hell if they walk into a Roman Catholic church or a Buddhist temple. But if you have a little more experience and you trust God, you realize you can walk in anywhere. And God will take care of you. Just don't end up becoming a Buddhist and worshiping Buddha instead of the true God. But you can walk in there. You would learn some things. You might be able to witness to some people. But some new believers might be so panicked that the idea of walking in a Buddhist temple is going to freak them out. So don't do that when they're around. Same thing with eating food offered to idols. Don't do that while the new or weaker believers are around. And then in 1 Samuel, David did lie, and he did eat the consecrated bread. And Jesus Christ brought this up when people were condemning him and his apostles for picking grain on the Sabbath. And that concludes this session.